This week on Journey Through the Word at Horizon Indy, Bill Goodrich takes us through Psalm 139 in a message entitled, The Greatness of the God We Love.
The greatness of the God we love. We're supposed to be outside, but he's brought us inside today. And so that's a good thing. We're all here just rejoicing and loving Jesus Christ. God is amazing. Last night I was over at the hospital, and someone that has walked among us for numbers of years, Fern Decker, went to be with the Lord yesterday. You know, life is challenging in many ways, but you know, the hope that we have is an amazing hope. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him, what? Shall not perish. What does not mean? We will live forever. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's a promise that we have. And I wanted to just do a short devotion today and look at the greatness of the God we love. Are you guys in love with God? Because it means that you act differently. You'll respond differently. Your goals in life will be different. The way that you speak to others will be different. The way that you allow him to work in your life will be entirely different than the world, because we're no longer of the world. We're in this world, but we're no longer of this world. Scripture tells us that in the end times, troublous times will come our way. I don't know exactly what all the end time mean, but you know, to me it seems like it's pretty near the end. It's time that we understand that we need to pray. We need to fast. We need to seek the Lord as he would guide us to seek him and trust him in every area. Here in this Psalm, Psalm 139, David comments about the greatness of God by speaking of God's omniscience, speaking of his omnipresence, speaking of his omnipotence. The leading idea in this psalm seems to be that the comfort from the comfort from the fact that God is everywhere. Do we believe that today? He is everywhere. That he knows all that pertains to us. Everything about us he knows. It's not a moment that he hasn't known. He knows everything about us. And that we can never be hidden from his view. That's what the psalmist is going to tell us. There's no way. There's nowhere we can hide. We can go to the heavens. We can go to the depths of hell. But we are not hidden from him. That also he has known us from the beginning. From the beginning. He's known us before this earth was set in place, according to Scripture. He's understood everything about us. He's given us the days that we will live on this earth. It doesn't surprise him when we were born. It doesn't surprise him when we will leave this earth. He knows all about those things. He knows us from the beginning, and that he has fashioned and formed us, making us what we are. He knows all our necessities and can supply them. Do we believe that? All of our needs, all of our necessities. There's people that we're going to pray with after the service here that need a physical touch. God knows that. And so we can pray and trust him, because he is a great God. And it's the God that we love, and he loves each and every one of us. Here in Psalm 139, David pens just a beautiful, beautiful area of Scripture. Join with me as we read through this. O Lord, David says, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You've hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. For they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. And then David closes out the psalm. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. David was a wise man. He knew that God had searched him. If we are alive today, God has searched us. He searches us constantly. We'll see scriptures that allude to that. Because he loves us. He wants us to go a right way. I was writing a text message yesterday to a situation that I'm involved in, a family situation. I won't go into the details. But yet, it's not fair. It's just not fair from my point of view. It's not fair. And then I believe it's not fair, what is being stated and all that. And I found myself in a little way, just the smallest little way, that I could on my text message say a thing a certain way that would bring about a certain result more than likely, but I didn't feel comfortable that it was exactly the truth. And so I inserted it a certain way in there, and I'm still going on in my mind, I must be careful. I've got to be careful no matter what, because God knows every thought. He knows exactly what I'm doing, and we're held to a greater accountability today as Christians. We must always be honest with the words that we say. We must have truth that comes across from our lips, because across our lips come the issues of the heart. David knew that. He cried out, oh God, you have searched me. And we should cry out today. Cry it out if you'd like. Lord, search me. Search me. Guess what? If you said, Lord, search me, and you meant it as a prayer, guess what he's going to do? He's going to search you. He's going to shine a light into our hearts. He's going to shine a light into our minds. He's going to hold us to a higher accountability. And so then David, after he cried out to the Lord, said, you search me, Lord. You have searched me. Excuse me. You have searched me. I know you've done that. Here I am before you. And then he pours out the greatness of God in three distinct ways. He pours it out, and then he comes back again. Okay, Lord, search me further. You guys want to say that? Search me further? Because he will search us further. Mr. Willis, a gentleman that I've mentioned so many years, but some here may not have heard of him. Anyway, he lived in our house. The last 5 years of his life passed away at age 95, and he always would walk, he would walk around, and I used to say, Mr. Willis, stop it. He would go, in his prayer life, he would go, Lord, break me, you know, and I thought, I don't want that, but I did. You know, you learn to pray and ask the Lord to break you. David knew that God was all-knowing there in verses 1 through 6. He cries out in verses 1 through 3, what we do. Notice in verse 1, O Lord, we start with, O Lord. We come before him and we recognize that we serve him. He is our Lord. Then it gets personal. You, what did you do? Scripture, David says, have searched me and known me. Actually, the word there, the tense in what's being presented, is that you searched me thoroughly. That's what he does. We think at times we can hide, but he knows everything about us. He really does. So it's good for us to be honest before him. What we do, oh, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. He knows wherever I am. He knows exactly what we are doing. He knows everything about us. There's not a moment that he hasn't known. Even before we were born into this earth, he's always known, will always know, knows everything about us. Why would we try to ever hide anything? Because he knows us. There's comfort in that, but it sure does search us, doesn't it? Ooh, I got to be careful the words I say. You know, words are very powerful, are they not? James talks about this little muscle that's right there in our tongue. And, you know, it's very powerful. Man can control the direction of a ship with a little rudder, but it seems like this thing is on fire at times. And God says it's not to be that way. What we do, he goes on in verse 3, you comprehend my path. You comprehend my path. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. God even knows the motives of our thoughts as they are being formed. He knows the very motives of our heart. And that's something we can't hide from, the motives of our heart, because he knows the motives of our heart. And that's where it gets really tricky at times. That's where he moves in. God, search me. And Lord, you have searched me, but search me even more to reveal to me the reasons why I do what I do. Have you ever prayed that? It's an important prayer that we would do that. Lord, why is it that I do what I do? Do I serve you with joy, or do I serve you for reward? Do I serve you so no one will see me, or do I serve you so I can be seen? The very motives of our heart. He knows every single motive of our heart. And it's important that we would cry out to him, search me, God, search me, please. And we're not in bondage. We're not to fear that we can make the slightest mistake or anything like that. I believe, again, if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So we walk in love with him. That's our relationship. But at the same time, Lord, I love you. And I want to be just deep, more in love with you. So search me, O Lord, because you know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You understand the very motives of my thoughts. Verse 3, you comprehend my path and my lying down. You know exactly where I'm going. You're thinking about why I'm going this way. Or, you know everything about why I go this way and I go that way. Do I put myself in positions where I'll be tempted? Or do I take my feet and move it away from where I will be tempted? He knows everything about every part of us. You comprehend my path and my lying down, are acquainted with, what's the next word? All my ways. And all means? All. It means every single way of our life. See, God is good. He knows what we do. He knows what we think. And we're going now in verse 4. He says, he knows what we say. Look at verse 4. For there is not a word uttered, I will add, on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Altogether simply means completely. You know everything about it. Not only the words I say, but the reasons I say what I say. Again, that's being revealed here. You know it completely. You know everything, but behold, for there is not a word on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know it completely. You have hedged me behind and before. In other words, you've hemmed me in. You are all around me. He's telling, David is just saying what he knows, that God, you're all around me. There's no place I'm going to be able to go. So why would I allow myself to go to this place? Why would I act this way? Because he is always with us. Is that not true? He's always with us. Scripture says, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. Wherever we go, he's there with us. Do we believe that? And so he's always there. He loves us. He wants us to be encouraged. He wants us to know that there's his grace and his mercy. But yet he wants us to live a life that reflects him. By the power of the Holy Spirit, that is possible. Behold, all, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand on me. Now, a lot of times, laid your hand on me sounds like he's, you know, spanking me. I don't think so. I saw the picture of that, of a dad with a son, you know, and just come up and just lay your hand upon him and whisper in his ear when you want to talk with him. You know, you've seen a dad when the dad's behaving himself and he's a good coach, okay? He's not a bad coach out there. And he comes up and just puts his hand on his son and encourages him in that way. I saw that as a very beautiful, you have hedged me behind and before, you're around me all the way. You've laid your hand upon me. How beautiful that is. And then he says there in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's beyond. God, you're unsearchable. It is high. I cannot attain it. There's no way. It's too lofty. It's beyond my reach that you're all-knowing in that way. Go with me. Keep your finger there and go with me to Jeremiah chapter 12, please, just for a moment. Let's amplify a little bit as we correlate the scriptures we see. Jeremiah chapter 12. I didn't have them prepared for you on the screen because we weren't going to be out here. We were going to be outside. So let's do it the old way, okay? Turn your Bibles, okay? Or turn on your phone. Notice in Jeremiah 12, verse 3. But you, O Lord, know me. You have seen me, and you have tested my heart toward you. Put them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. And Jeremiah is going through that, talking about his enemies, but I love the first part of it. But you, O Lord, know me. You have seen me and you have tested my heart toward you. Thank the Lord that he does that. Go to chapter 17 here in Jeremiah, please. Let's start in verse 7, but we'll get to 9 and 10. It says, verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out his roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? And then verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. We know, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that we will stand before the Lord at the Bema Seat judgment. There where rewards will be distributed according to what we have done for the glory of God. Those foundation that were built with gold and silver and precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, anything that we built with that way for our glory will disappear. But we'll get to heaven. Praise the Lord. We will get to heaven. It's a beautiful thing that we see in Scripture. Go with me to Romans chapter 11, please, just for a moment. Again, on this mind, or on this idea that God knows everything. Chapter 11, verse 33 through 36. Paul said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the knowledge and wisdom of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen? Amen, amen that we see there. So God is all-knowing. Let's go back to Psalm 139. We know that. If you'd like to write down Job 28, chapter 28, don't go there now, but that whole chapter emphasizes in a very powerful way that God is all-knowing. Beginning in verse 7, we see that God is always with us. Anybody say praise the Lord for that? He's always with us. There in verse 7, it says, Where can I go or where can I flee from your spirit? If I were to flee, where could I go? Where could I hide myself? And he's basically going to say, notice there in verse 7, he says, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. We know that God is there in heaven. God is in heaven. And then we see, if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. You know, God is everywhere, you know? And David is saying, even into the lowest parts of the earth. In other words, you can't escape. You can't hide anywhere. He's always there. He knows everything about us. He knows everything about all the people here on this earth. What is there, 6 billion or 7 billion? Keeps growing, 7 billion like that. It was an interesting statement that Jim Mersey, the owner of the Colts, said concerning Andrew Luck. Did you guys read it? And you don't know which one I'm going to quote, so you don't know yet. But, you know, that quote that he said, if I got it right, he says, you know, there's 6 or 7 trillion people, or a billion people on this earth, and 5 or 6 have the giftedness and the ability that Andrew Luck has. And then he named, is it Bissett? Brissett? He says, I just hope he's number 7. You know, because, yeah, whatever. Anyway, football. I had to throw football in here. It's football, you know, it's football. IU won. What happened to Purdue, Ron? Yeah. Should not sit so close, Ron. Back to the word. Verse 8. If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there, Lord. You're there. God is there no matter where we go. And then verse 9. If I take the wings of the morning, if I could just have wings to go where the morning comes, you know, when that beautiful time comes. I love it when I get up early and it's dark, but then you see the sun rise and you just see the morning going from, in this case, right to left as I look out the front of our house and you see that. I just love that. If I take the wings of the morning, I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Jonah found that out, didn't he? He couldn't flee. Went to the bottom of the ship. Who found him there? God. God pursued him. He pursues us. We belong to him. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. In verse 10, he says, even there, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. I go, praise the Lord for God's guidance. Thank you, Lord. I can trust that. I can look at that. God can be found in the farthest oceans and he can guide and support us wherever we go. Do we believe that today? That's what David is saying. That's the great God that we serve, the God that we love today. He will go with us wherever we are. He will never forsake us, never leave us in any way whatsoever. Goes on that God is always with us in verses 11 through 12. He says, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall, or in other words, hide me, even the night shall be light about me. In other words, the night's not light for him. He sees through the darkness. We could be in the midst of darkness, and we know how it is when you can't see your hand in your face. But for God, he just sees that. He's got infrared goggles on. He's always got them on. He can see all the way through. He can see everything. There's nothing that he doesn't know. There's nothing that he doesn't see. And praise the Lord, because he's there to protect us. He's there to love us. That's what I see as I go through this. I don't feel limited by that. I feel encouraged by that. I feel loved by that. I feel cared for that. That is the God that we serve and he loves. Look at verse 12. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Darkness and light are the same as far as God's concerned. So there's nothing that he does not see whatsoever. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Keep your finger there. Deuteronomy 31. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Notice verse 8. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Anybody ever been discouraged? I've been discouraged. And then I just have to go back and say, no, wait a minute. God knows. God knows. He's in control of all things. I have to just do a heart search as David did. I want to go through and I say, Lord, search my heart. This is a practical application in a way. Just search my heart, Lord. Things I can't see, those things I don't understand, I want you to search that. And then a lot of times he just takes me into this psalm. I love this psalm. And just take me into the psalm, and then he searches my heart, and he reveals who he is in my life. And then I come out again, and I go, oh, Lord, I just love you. But anyway, Lord, search me deeper, because I want to know you more. Go with me, please, to Jeremiah 23, just a little further back from the psalms there. Jeremiah 23. Again, concerning God is always with us. Verse 23 and 24 of Jeremiah 23. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God far off? In other words, he's both. We cannot hide from him. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? So a scripture just again to correlate and back up that truth. Back to Psalm 139 as we wrap it up here. Again, we've looked at God knows all about us. God is always with us. And now God can do all things for us. He does everything for us, beginning in verse 13. For you formed or created my inward parts. Literally, he's saying my inmost being. You formed my inward parts. Where does life begin, ladies and gentlemen? Conception. It begins there. Don't buy into what the world says. And I know there's a lot of sensitivity and a lot of different things that we go through. Don't go away from the word. David knew where life began. God, you were right there. You formed my inward parts. It's God who does that. God is there at conception. God is there as the baby's being grown in the womb. For you formed my inward parts, my inmost being. You covered me. You literally knit me together in my mother's womb. Beautiful. How wonderful that is. I will praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You ever think about yourself that way? You're awesome. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're awesome. I mean, you guys believe it? Good. Let's just have a conversation about that. Tell them how awesome they are. How are they awesome? Thank you for saying that. I got one at least. Thank you, thank you. God, you can, wait a minute, let's stop. You guys are all awesome, okay? Let's stop. Don't get too close. I'll get in trouble. Isn't that wonderful? That's what God says about us. You are awesome. He sees us. He sees the finished work. He sees we're going to be with him. He sees us beyond this world. Is God awesome? He is. He loves us with all of our, what would you say, our challenges. Let's put it that way. All of our challenges. He loves us. And he sees us as awesome. Why? Because of Jesus. Simply because of Jesus. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. How could we not say his works are not marvelous? So that means, Lord, you're saying that I'm marvelous? Well, Lord, I don't feel like it right now. I feel like just a jerk. And he says, that's okay. You're marvelous. Marvelous are your works, God. And that my soul, my inner self, knows very very well. And then in verse 15, he says, my frame, my limbs, actually my bones, my frame was not hidden from you, God, when I was made in the secret place in my mother's womb and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, that he was there with us and he formed us. God creates and arranges our bodies within the womb. God numbers each day of our lives before we are born, and he records every day in his book. We're going to see that in just a moment. Look at verse 6. At 16, it says, your eyes saw my substance. You saw my actions. It could be translated, you saw my embryo. You saw different ways that it's been translated there. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, notice he has a book. They were all written. The days fashioned or ordained for me when as yet there were none of them. Fern Decker went to be with the Lord. Fern would come in and her and her husband Bob would sit right over here and they would be right there. She is with Jesus. Yesterday at 8 o'clock at p.m. at night was the end of her time here on earth. And she left this earth to be with the Lord forever and ever. We have an appointment too, you guys. Each and every one of us. And we will be with the Lord forever and ever. David knew that. The days are fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. What beautiful things we see there. And then verses 17 and 18, God thinks wonderful and innumerable thoughts about us constantly. Notice verse 17, how precious, David says, also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I count them, if I should count them, if I could count them, your thoughts toward me, God, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful. Other people translate it a different way. I feel a correct translation is God's thoughts towards us. They're innumerable. He loves us so much. He thought about us before we were born. He thinks about us right now, and he has a wonderful thought and plan for each and every one of us. And then in verse 19, David cries out to God to destroy the wicked. You know, there is another side of life in this way, and we need to understand it. Verse 19, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. In other words, God, bring this earth to that end where we'll all be with you forever and ever. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a completeness of hatred, a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. The enemy of God is our enemy. And then our enemy, truly the enemy that is against God, obviously is God's enemy in that way. David cries out for God to destroy the wicked. David cries out for God to test him and point out anything that offends him. These thoughts seem to have sprung from David's consideration of God's divine character and perfections as leading him to hate all that was opposed to a being, capital B, so pure, God who is so pure, so benevolent, and so holy. Are there people that hate God? Unfortunately, yes, there are. And God will bring his justice, because within his love is justice. So he will deal in a just way upon those that would reject him. But that's why we have to go out into the world in the highways and the byways and share with anybody that we can about the love of God, because it may spark something and they may be called to give their hearts to Jesus Christ. On looking into his own heart and in view of what God was, David was conscious that he had no sympathy with the enemies of God as such, that such was his love for the character of God and such his confidence in him, that he could have nothing in common with them in their feelings toward God, but wish to be disassociated from them forever. That's a strong statement that he's making. David expresses a desire that as God saw all the recesses of the human soul, he would search his heart and would detect any evil he might see there and deliver him from the evil and lead him in the way which is conducive to life eternity. Look at verse 23 and 24. Search me. Again, he started out, you have searched me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, test me, and know my anxieties, my anxious thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me on the road that you have for me. Isn't it a beautiful psalm? It truly is. And so that should be, hopefully, our prayer today. Anyone may feel and must feel that after all which he knows of himself, after all the effort which he makes to ascertain that he is within his heart, there are depths there which his eye cannot penetrate, and that there may be sins of thought and feeling there which he has not detected. But it is only from the consciousness of sincerity and a true desire to honor God that one can pray that God would search him and that he would detect and bring out every form of sin which he may see, God may see concealed and lurking in his soul. Maybe we'd be willing to pray that today. Amen? I believe that God wants to bring revival into our midst. I really believe that. A number of people, but it's not going to come easy. It's going to take a lot of work. And I pray that we would start today just a simple devotion that God, you have searched me, but search me even more. Go to my depths, and we would cry that out and let him have his way in our lives. Amen?
Our journey will continue in our next broadcast. Thanks for joining us today. Journey Through the Word is a ministry of Horizon Indy in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you want more info, check us out at horizonindy.org or call 317-823-2349. Join us next time, and you'll hear the pages turn as we journey through the Word.
Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at CCBCI.org.